Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Trying to bring in this first run of the game, the pitch. Swinging a ground ball through the right side, base hit. Cruz waved around third. Here's the throw home, and he's safe. Pirates take the lead. Brian Reynolds drives in Cruz. 1-0 Pirates. Swing, fly ball, left field, down the line. Canario is playing well off the line, still on the run. He'll get there, slide and make the catch. What the game is over.
Great play to end the game. He ran the length of North America to catch that ball. Wow.
Alexander Canario with a great catch. De La Cruz is out. The Pirates win it. A shutout win over the Reds. 1-0. Just what they needed.
It sounds like some sort of thing to dance to. I don't know. Is it a jig of some sort?
It's a celebration of the win yesterday for the Pirates.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, as a matter of fact, Limits. I was writing this morning about flag football, but also thinking about little Bailey Falter and what a wonderful man he seems to be. Man, he was great last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's had like two blow-up starts this year, but other than that, he has been terrific for them. His ERA in the month of May is like 0.4. He's been awesome.
Are you okay today?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Very good, and I love it when we talk 10 minutes before the show, and this was the first time you ever said to me, would you like the good news or the better news? That's what I like to hear, Limits.
How about that? We're trying to bring the boom here on the middle of May, end of May.
That is exactly what I like to hear. Yesterday, I played Totteridge. I'd never played there. It was a wonderful course, I might add, Limits. It looked like Ireland. I felt I was in Scotland or Ireland, and I parred the last three holes. Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud
of
you.
Don't ask what I did on the other 15 holes, but the last three I parred in a row with a man named Gavin from Greensburg. It was a little backed up near the end, and the guy pulled up behind me, and I said, Gavin, do you want to play the last three holes together? He said, yes. He seemed like, you know, a guy like me, a 17, 18 handicap, and each of us parred the last three holes, six in a row.
Wow.
This guy's my new best friend.
Competition at the very end.
Gavin from Greensburg.
I think what people are even more questioned about is, how did you get home? Did you get home? How long did it take you to get home?
What do you mean? Why do you ask?
Because at Neverwood, you had some issues.
Oh, yeah. I didn't lock my keys in my car this time. You're only going to get me to do that once, Limits. Maybe once in my whole life. I had a wonderful time. And then I came home and watched the Pirates, and that was very enjoyable. And that's where we begin today. There's no Bob. Let's all get over it soon. He's part-time pomp. He's off. He's actually making sacrifices to come in at all this week, and I appreciate that.
Are you very upset that Bob's not here?
No, I was just explaining the opposite of that, in fact. Are you listening, Limits?
You slammed your hand on the table.
So like I was Brian
just,
Kelly.
Yeah,
yes.
So I was just trying to make sure everything's okay.
By the way, I missed it. Darn it.
Talking about the same things.
And you need in the Limitless Express to put back in the part where you said you're questioning my intelligence. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm questioning your integrity. I like that as the ending for the Limitless Express, okay?
Yeah, you really just tried to hammer me on that one. Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. I do like that. I like that. Now, I'm in a good mood today, Limits, and it seems like you are too. And I think we all need to get over Bob's absence. Everybody out there, I know it's disappointing, honestly. When you hear at the start of the show, there's going to be no Bob. But we need to move on. And you know what'll help? A little six-pack, Limits. Why don't you crack one? I was just talking to the esteemed Adam Crowley in the hallway.
Esteemed.
And I was thinking this morning about the Pirates starting pitching and about how remarkable it truly is that they have the hard part figured out. This is like having your franchise quarterback but having nothing around him. They're putting a franchise quarterback on the mound almost every night. And yes, I'm exaggerating a little bit with Bailey Falter, but as you said, his ERA this month is microscopic. The one thing that Ben Cherington appears to be adept at is finding pitchers. Am I right about that, Limits? It seems like there's a veteran around here almost every year who's pretty good, one or two of them, yeah. Correct?
Tyler Anderson, Jose Quintana, they did a really good job with now finding Bailey Falter.
And Heaney.
Yeah, and Heaney. When right. they traded for Falter, we were all like, this guy has been awful for Philadelphia, and they got him for the guy whose phone fell out of his pocket at third base.
I know. I actually liked him at one point. So listen
He's
to this.
He's been good for them. He's been great, Falter, at times.
Crowley actually did some work because I said to him in the hallway, where does the Pirates' starting rotation rank in ERA? He said, I'm not sure about that, but this morning, and this is Crowley I'm quoting here, somewhat loosely, he said, this morning I figured out the four starters' ERA for the Pirates, the top four, is something like 3.21. That's better than the 2013 rotation with the top four starters.
Wow.
How about that? So then I was thinking before I walked in today, if you would have told me that before the season, you know, I figured Skeens would be lights out. I thought Jared Jones would be in the rotation, so I guess I would have thought he'd be one of the guys. But that their top four starters would be lights out for the most part and have a better ERA than the top four in 2013 finished with, we'd be sitting here on, what is it, May 21st, 22nd?
That's right, 21st.
21st. What do you think their record is, Joe? If you would have asked me that on March 15th and you told me that bit of information, I would have said, you know, where I thought, right around 500, because I do question elements of the bullpen and the lineup stinks. But I still, you know, that would have told me they'd be around 500. Never would I have guessed that they'd be one of the worst teams in Pirate history at this point in the season. Would you have?
No, not at all. I would have thought that they'd be right around 500, probably right at 500.
It's horrifying. They have the hard part figured out. That's why I keep saying, and I think people think I'm crazy, I don't think they're that far away. If an NFL team has a franchise quarterback, by definition, they're not far away. Go fill in some pieces. And when I say not far away, I'm not necessarily saying not far away from a Super Bowl championship. But if you have the guy, and in this case, a couple guys, like a starting staff led by a generational pitcher, man, you shouldn't be that far away from 500, which by definition is in wild card contention limits. I mean, it's remarkable that they are where they are given their starting pitching.
It's truly insane to think about because, especially when you break it down into like the three quadrants of the game, the first three innings, the next three innings, and then the last three innings, the starting pitchers have given them 2/3 of the way there.
Yes.
Like, you can have a crummy bullpen and just be able to tread water even if you have a rotation like this. All that you need to do is average right around 4 runs per game, which is even what they did last year. If they had last year's offense,
they barely won last night. The guy was unhittable, just yeah. like the guy the day before and the day before that. They're not just good right now. Their rotation, that's redundant to stay starting rotation limits, and I apologize for that. When I was at Waynesburg teaching people like you, it was less is more in every facet of life, including writing and speaking.
Yeah, no redundancy. Don't yes. try to hit a word count.
You just did. Give me another one, would you please?
Sure. I can do that for you.
I forgot what I was even going to say. Oh, they haven't just been good. They've been borderline unhittable, and the team is losing and barely winning. How do you barely win that game? I mean, it's amazing. It truly is. Anyway, the laws of the universe say with good must come bad, with expansion must come contraction. So yes, the Pirates won a game, oh limitless wonder. But they also set themselves on the verge of a kind of history nobody wants to make. Would you like to explain to the people where the Pirates are in terms of not having reached even 5 runs in 25 games now?
So it's now 25 games in a row that the Pirates have scored 4 runs or less. That puts them very, very close to the record. The record is 26 games, today could be history for the Pirates. The 1969 California Angels and the 1931 Boston Braves are the only two teams that have reached 26 games in a row in the live ball era, scoring four runs or less in that many games.
I'll tell you what that sparks in me, other than horror, is that some of these California teams that are either extinct by name or actually extinct were very riveting to me as a youth. There was something about them. The California Angels, the California Golden Seals.
Yeah, the Golden Seals.
Yeah, Craig Patrick played for them. He had hair when he played for them. Gilles Meloche was their goalie. You remember him,
Linus? How about the Seattle Pilots, the one year that they played in the MLB?
They didn't really intrigue me much.
No?
No.
I have a bunch of baseball cards from the Seattle Pilots. Yeah, my dad has a bunch.
The 1969 California Angels with Jim Fregosi at shortstop, Jay Johnstone in center field limits, a man named Bubba Morton. Andy Messersmith was part of their rotation. Rudy May, legendary. Hoyt Wilhelm was on that team.
Hoyt.
Finishing up in his career, a former Pirate.
Was he the knuckleballer?
He wasn't a former Pirate. I think of him because he was a knuckleballer, I believe. What limits?
Was the only Nolan the manager of the team?
I don't think so.
Or Crazy Schmidt?
Phenomenal Smith was not on this team. That is amazing. Oh, my God, is that amazing. The lineup that Ben Cherington has wrought is on the verge of history. Who's pitching for the Reds today? Somebody with a 5 ERA, I think. Do they have a shot at this? I thought Cruz might hit a grand slam last night and do it all by himself, didn't you?
Yeah, Brady Singer goes today for Cincinnati. I don't know. Cruz has been...
What's Brady Singer's numbers? Can you please read them to me?
Singer, 41 and two-thirds innings, a 5 ERA, a 1.32 whip, 39 strikeouts, 15 walks on the season. His last start was against Cleveland. He went 5 innings, giving up 3 runs. But the start before that, he gave up 7 against Houston. That's why his ERA has ballooned.
I'm thinking there's a chance. I'm thinking there's a chance today. I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and predict it, that they're going to get to the Singer. They're going to boo the Singer here. And they're gonna knock him out of the box.
No
and that's
encore.
That's gonna be that. The 1968-69 Oakland Seals. Mike Lang grew up listening to California games. I think including the Golden Seals. Will you remember anybody on this team? Limits.
No. Brian
Watson, Gene Ubriaco, who would go on to become the Penguins coach.
Yeah,
I might
that's
add.
A familiar name.
And I think Craig Patrick, you've heard of him,
of
right?
Of course, Penguins GM.
Always something compelling.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
About those California teams. Next.
You didn't ask my opinion on if I think they're going to break it.
I'm sorry. Do you think they're going to break it?
No. I think the record,
what do you mean?
Will they break off the 25 games in a row, or will they
score 5 runs in the game?
No, they will not. I think that they will hit the record of 26, and they will establish a new record of 27 on Friday night, but I do think that they win today's game 3-2.
I'm thinking today they break it. That is such an embarrassing, horrific record to be part of. I mean, it really is. It's somewhat obscure. You know, it's in the realm of Antonio Brown, 6 catches for 50 yards or more. I'll acknowledge that, but it's also pretty straightforward and pretty indicative of what Ben Cherington has done here, what he has wrought. Oh, my goodness. Next. Crowley tells me that Albert Breer has reported that the Steelers checked in on Chris Olave. Is that real, Limits? And that would confirm Crowley's own reporting that he took a lot of heat for, maybe even catching some Filippone strays from the Brandon Ayuk incident. Is that true?
Possibly, but the fact that other Steeler reporters did put it out there, like Alan Saunders, the Saunders umbrella, and Nick Faribault.
Are you trying to take credit away from Crowley?
Not at all. I'm trying to say that they were verifying what Crowley reported.
Were they?
Crowley's the first one to put it out there, and other reporters said, yeah, they
here it
did
is.
Look on Olave.
Here it is. Last from Steelers Depot. Last Friday, rumors surfaced that the Steelers were interested in Chris Olave. According to Albert Breer in his Wednesday mailbag, that may have been true at one point. The Saints got inquiries from the Browns and Steelers early in the offseason and rebuffed them. So does Crowley get credit for this?
Yes.
Is he saying that they want to add Olave to DK Metcalf?
Yeah, I think so.
Then he doesn't get credit for it.
Why not?
Because they went after him early in the offseason before they got Metcalf.
That doesn't mean they're still not interested.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Might.
No, it doesn't. Might. Not. You have to be specific.
I don't know, man. That. As they say here, early in the offseason is a little unclear, says Joe Clark from Steelers Depot. But it's safe to assume that the Steelers inquired about Olave before they traded for Metcalf. Sorry, Limits. And sorry, Crowley. Next. All right. Flag football is on the docket today. And I have taken a deep dive on this, Limits. In fact, I think I want to come back with this because there's so much here. I talked to somebody who is the director, I think, of the Western Pennsylvania Flag Football Association. I read, as everybody did, that NFL owners voted 32-0 to let players participate in flag football in the Olympics.
Unanimous.
And then I watched, just to get a feel for it, last year's world championship between the U.S. and Austria. And I'm telling you right now, and I don't think this necessarily will happen because countries have a chance to ramp up here. But if Austria is the second best team in the world and Lamar Jackson and Justin Jefferson and Chris Olave, people like that are on the, and Crowley, even they could even have Crowley on that team. They'll win 800-0.
Oh.
These guys for Austria look like a men's pickup basketball team at the YMCA and not a good one. It's a bunch of guys you can picture in knee braces and headbands taking charges in games up to 21. It's unbelievable. I sent you the video. Did you see it?
It said that the video was no longer available.
I know
for
I texted
reason.
You back and said find it anyway.
Yes, you did.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not.
You should, to have a more educated opinion.
Well, my educated opinion is that the United States would blow out whoever they're going to play in flag football in the Olympics. They're going to go on to win the gold medal. And you didn't think that I was the correct take. You thought that, no, don't say that just yet. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
Well, that was my original take before I watched this game. Limits, if it were to be that, if it was Austria against Lamar Jackson, he could beat them as one guy on the field.
Easily, yes. That's why I was like,
although I should say quarterbacks are not allowed to run in this league. However, even if they're rushed, and there's only one pass rusher, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
There's a lot here because even from there, my opinion changed upon talking to Chris Curd, former Pitt football player, I might add, who's going to join us in studio tomorrow. I think all of us are kind of captivated by this idea of Lamar, you know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jahmyr Gibbs on a team. It would be, you should see, during this brief intermission, I'm going to show you on YouTube this Austrian flag football team, Limits. And that would actually be a bad thing. That would be embarrassing. Really, it would make the dream team against Angola look like a squeaker. And I think that was 114-48 back in 92.
Well, think about it this way. Like, the athletes that we have that have played football all their lives, they're just so elite, that move so well, like the Justin Jeffersons of the world. Even George Pickens, I think, would thrive in this.
No,
it's basically like playing in flag football. What's that face for?
No, go ahead.
It's basically like playing in flag football. It's basically like another practice for them.
No, it's not a practice. Please watch the video. And I'm not making a joke when I say this would be Jamar Chase going up against Mulsey in a flag football game. Okay?
And I'm not disputing that. That's my point.
Yeah, practice is going against other players. This would be like Lamar Jackson with Mulsey running after him. it would be a joke.
Well, we also talked about how 7-on-7s in football have just exploded over the years here, too.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
This is basically like a 7-on-7.
It's five. Okay, so what's your point?
My point is, in 7-on-7, when there's no tackling, a lot of high school athletes do it that become college athletes. A lot of the newer NFL players have been playing 7-on-7. It would probably be a seamless transition to playing flag football. So it's another reason why I think that the United States would just completely dominate against the plumbers and the insurance men that are playing for other countries.
That's not a hot take, especially for anybody who saw Austria play the U.S. They lost 51-23, and it's not like the U.S. team is filled with a bunch of Usain Bolts. However, there is a caveat here, if caveat's the right word.
What is that?
That at least one guy from every team, every NFL team, will be made available for this, and that there's a lot of international presence, and that it's a 5-on-5 event. So like basketball, one star could make a huge difference. I'll give you an example, or one NFL player. It doesn't have to be a superstar. Nelson Aguilar. He is of Nigerian descent. There's a bunch of players from Nigeria. They could put together a team.
Yeah, they could.
If those guys wanted to do that. Canada might have a really good team. Chuba Hubbard could play for them. Josh Palmer could play for them. Chase Claypool could play for them and perform a first down demonstration as they're on a last-minute drive for the goal.
Well, if this is the team that Canada's putting out there, there is nothing to fear for Team USA.
I think Chase Claypool would actually be unbelievable at flag football. It might be his sport. It's 5-on-5.
Yeah, but when it's Chase and Justin Jefferson and Chase Claypool's your receiver for Canada, come on.
It's flag football limits. It's anybody could, if you're 6'5", 220, and you can run fast like Claypool, he could be very good. My point is, in the end, which I also learned today after watching the Austrian team, is that countries have a couple of years to ramp up and might have a wider pool of players than we think. And as Chris Curd told me, this is different. And I'll give you one example. It's 5-on-5. There's one pass rusher. He starts 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And it has nothing to do with strength because he can't be blocked. So you don't want Myles Garrett or T.J. Watt as your pass rusher. As he said, you may have an Olympic gold medal sprinter. For instance, China. I forget the guy's name, has a ridiculous sprinter.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
China has 2.5 years now to ramp up for this thing. You think they might take it seriously? You think other countries
might take it seriously? Yeah.
So
you're saying that you think that the USA will just waltz into this expecting to easily win gold and not take it that seriously?
No, I'm saying it's different than them playing against Malzi. It could be very different. It's a 5-on-5. So if you have a Canada team with pretty good NFL talent on it and you have a 5-on-5 flag football game that goes on for 40 minutes or whatever, anything could happen. So I actually think in the end, it'll be a pretty good thing, and that a game or two could be competitive, but that the NFL better make sure it's not, because this will be the biggest flag football event ever staged. And as Kurt also told me, this is already played by millions of people around the world. This could be a dream team-like event if you have NFL players there. Like, obviously, the whole world is watching. He just got back from a trip to Ghana to sell this sport. Seeing Lamar and Justin Jefferson in this could spark just a worldwide explosion the way the Dream Team did with basketball.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
So in the end, even though I think there's potential for just ridiculous and embarrassing blowouts like there was with the Dream Team, the good outweighs the bad, I think. And for the NFL, of course, it's a marketing opportunity to sell the game worldwide and make a lot of money, which is what they live for, right? But I also think that it's a game that can be played very inexpensively. It's very accessible. And I think it would be a good thing for people around the world to be participating in, to be excited about, to have kids doing something like that. So that for me, the moral of the story, Limits, and I didn't mean to get into it this much, is that the good outweighs the bad, but the U.S. better win. I think they will. If they could play Austria, it would be 200-0, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think countries are going to put together teams of very interesting athletes.
It's a little bit of a shot at Malzi. Malzi's a good athlete. He made 9 straight threes. He's a really good golfer.
You're right about that.
If they're facing a bunch of Malzis, then maybe they're in for more than they're expecting, Team USA.
That was a hell of a roundabout way to take another shot at Malzi, wasn't it?
A little bit. And the NFL has been trying to self-flag so much more significantly than in years past. Like, they'll honor flag football players at the Super Bowl. Remember a couple of years ago, they did that whole lead into the Super Bowl with their intro,
right,
basically being a huge flag football event.
Right, and it's caught on. Yeah. I mean, look at, my daughter played it last year at Seton, and it's becoming, if not already, a Whitfield and BIAA sport.
Yes, they just sanctioned it for, I think it's next year, they're going to be adding flag football.
Girls are flocking to this sport. Losing athletes from other sports to play flag football. I mean, it's the most popular, football's the most popular game in America, so this is a natural extension of that. Bottom line, I'm actually in the end sort of dreading it, but also excited to see it. Are you?
Why are you dreading it? Just because you don't think the competition is going to be that great?
Yeah, because it's not fun to watch U.S. against Angola. I think that's possible, but in the end, as I said, I don't think that's going to happen. But part of me is dreading that possibility, that it could actually be embarrassingly bad.
Do you get spam risk calls every day?
Yeah.
I get it from the same, like, first three numbers of a phone call, and then the last four numbers are always
don't
different.
Answer it, because then they'll record your voice, and then I'll have somebody calling me in your voice on AI. The whole thing's very complicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just try to block the number or just immediately cross it out. But, yeah, I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
Because I think that the possibilities are endless with Joe Burrow throwing to Chase, Jefferson, Saquon in the backfield, and whoever they want rushing the passer.
Now, Kurd thinks it's just going to be a sprinkling of NFL players. And there is a limit. I think there's five guys on the field. There's maybe a 15, 20-man roster that only half of it would be NFL guys. He feels like it's only going to be a sprinkling, and that'll be enough. I don't know, man. I think his best point was, when you're pushing this hard for a sport, you better win on home soil. You better win. What would be your starting five on offense, Limits?
I would be, I don't know if I want to put a bet on it yet, but I would be absolutely flabbergasted and stunned if they did not win this. I will take you out to a steak dinner.
That's fine. I said, what would be your team?
My team would be Burrow at quarterback, Chase and Justin Jefferson at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Saquon at running back.
Wait, don't you want somebody more elusive than Burrow? The whole idea is you can't run, so you have to be elusive behind the line. Why would you want Burrow?
Because Burrow doesn't need to run, but he can escape the pocket. He's not taking off like Lamar would.
Well, you can actually do
actually,
that.
Actually, I'd want Josh Allen.
Okay.
Because he's the complete package.
I would want Lamar and Jaden Daniels on my team because I saw plays like the quarterback's not allowed to take off and run, even if he's rushed. However, a simple snap to somebody right behind the line and then a quick lateral to the quarterback, he is eligible to run. Mm. So it's almost like a double play in baseball, a short throw and then a lateral to the quarterback. He can do anything he wants. Now imagine Jaden Daniels and Lamar as two quarterbacks on the field. But here's the thing you're not understanding, Limits.
What is that?
Is
you're obsessed with this two quarterback system again.
I am. I don't think, and you need to respect Chris Kurd here. The man that he knows more about flag football than most people on the planet.
I'm not trying to disrespect
him
at all.
And he's going
to
be in studio tomorrow. Did
I
mention that?
I'm very happy to meet him.
He said, again, I repeat, that TJ Watt or Myles Garrett, that's not who you want rushing the passer. Like, the U.S. team should have Noah Lyles rushing the passer. The idea is to get from 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage across the line and after the quarterback and snatch a flag from his waist as fast as humanly possible.
All right. You know who should rush the passer then?
Who?
Travis Hunter.
That's a pretty good one.
Two-way star, great speed. He can get right to the quarterback.
I think I'd rather have the fastest man in America, though.
Yeah, but can Noah Lyles just easily be able to maneuver around a guy that might be trying to block him?
I told you there's no blocking.
Yeah, but a guy could also just step into his way and try to... So, can you have somebody that is just like standing
Malzi
around the
disease,
line of scrimmage?
Early onset Malzi
no,
disease
that's not
kicking
it. Don't
in.
Don't try to throw this back on me like that. Nope, don't you do it. Don't
I
you
told
do
you
it.
There's no
don't
blocking.
You do it. But can you also have somebody that is just designated to protect the quarterback?
No.
That just stands there and just tries to stand in the way of somebody without making contact?
What?
Do you understand? You
yes,
clearly I don't understand what I'm
so
saying.
So somebody who shadows?
Basically,
right,
yeah.
Limits. You have Noah Lyles with a 7-yard head start. Is there a human being on earth that's going to be able to get in his way if
Usain
you change
Bolt?
His direction? Okay, then you have Usain Bolt on the other side.
Yeah.
Not that
Tyreek
I saw.
Hill?
I mean, again, I watched the game. There's, first of all, you'd be sacrificing a receiver unless he was then an outlet guy, but he would still be covered. Four guys go out for a pass, and the quarterback throws it. And I'm just going by what Kurd said. He said, if you could have an Olympic sprinter as your pass rusher, that's who you would want.
Makes some sense. I would not be surprised if they have like a couple of guys from like Team USA flag that have been playing for a while.
Yeah,
they
want to appease those guys. Yeah, those guys, they don't want to give up their spots. All right, let's get more. Your calls on that, by the way. I mean, this is a giant story now. There's also the injury factor. Like, let me ask you this out there. 412-928-9370. Would you want TJ Watt or DK Metcalf or a Steelers star of some sort playing in this thing? Because from what I saw from highlights of that game, you've got guys diving into the backs of knees on the sidelines, sometimes inadvertently. I saw a head-on collision at the goal line, inadvertent. Guys twisting and turning at high rates of speed. And that's why the Packers GM says absolutely not to this. And a lot of people say, I would never send my superstar to this. Do you want to see this? Do you want to see Olympic flag football when you want one of your star players there?
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.